Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast. We're in episode 84. My name's Jared. I got Denzel with me, and we got something special coming today, man.
Yeah. So guess what?
Today will be our very first versus battle. Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble. Let's get ready to rumble. That's
today,
what we need.
In the left corner, we will have Cohiba, and it will be matched up in the right corner with Placencia, the Green Band. We're going to put them up against each other. Half the show. First half of the show goes to Cohiba. Last half of the show goes to Placencia. And we're going to see who come out on top. It ain't your traditional episode where, you know, we have to go, you know, smoke it and then tell you our experience about how it was. It ain't going to be that. We about to jump right into these Cohibas to give it its fair time. And then we're going to wipe the slate clean. Then we're going to pick up on the second half and we're going to smoke the Placencia at the end of the show. The review will be based on our opinion of each other against each other. So this is a competitive episode.
Competitive episode.
We're going to see who come out on top.
We got a heavyweight bout. We got a two juggernauts. Do we even have an underdog? Is there an underdog?
I'm going to say Cohiba's the underdog. It's a close underdog. It's 55-45 is what I'm thinking.
Crazy. And that lets you know about Placencia. We're saying Cohiba is the underdog?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So this is what we're doing. We getting straight into it. We lighting up.
Straight to it.
I'm going.
Hey, man, I punched both of mine, so we punching on both for me.
Yep. I got mine, too. Going straight punch. I already had a game plan early. I already knew what I wanted to go with. Punch in mine. I got my Cohiba ready. So,
hey man, I did my perverted sniff right off the bat, man. And my perverted sniff, I went with the Cohiba for it personally. Just saying that right off the bat.
Oh, so you sniffed them back to back.
Mm-hmm.
So you get straight to the matchup.
Mm-hmm. Who
got the best sniff test?
I sniffed it, man. Cohiba smell better.
So I got the red dot. Clearly over there, you got the blue dot Cohiba.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see
the only difference.
That blue dot. Yeah, that's the only difference that we got over there.
Yeah, other than that, same Placencias. I think our sizes are a little different, but, you know. And while we at it, I'll give you some specs on the Cohiba, because I do have the information for the blue. The blue has a Honduran wrapper, Dominican origin, and we got the Honduran binder, and we got the filler is Dominican, Honduran, and Nicaraguan. So, you know, that's for the nerds out there, man. It's into all that, man. That's what you got going on with this Cohiba blue. Hey, man, we nerds too, man. We like it. It is what it is, man. Only somebody who's nerding out in whatever their category is actually care about the specs. But that's for everybody that does, because that matters.
Yeah, it matters. All right, so I'm going to run down.
If you know what you're looking for.
We're going to see what the differences are between your red dot, my red dot, and your blue dot. So I have a Cameroon wrapper, origins Dominican Republic, binder Indonesian, filler Dominican. That's what we got with the red dot. Profile, we medium on the profile. So far, pretty light smoke I got going on here. And let me tell you, first puff, Cohiba coming out swinging.
Mm-hmm. As we knew Cohiba would. Now, this is the question. Did you say who you thought the underdog was, if one at all?
I was not bold enough to say. I was going to I left it up to you to call the underdog. I wasn't willing to make that commitment. I mean, I do have my personal favorites. Of course, we already know that Placencia right now is my top brand. It is my top brand, my top cigar. So just based on that, I would have to say Cohiba would be the underdog.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure there'd be a lot of people who would think otherwise. You know, Cohiba's top class.
Name cast. It's that brand.
Name cachet, head and shoulders above Placencia. But yeah. when we talk about our personal favorites, and even I would even say the people's choice favorites. I'm not even going to say our favorites, because anytime I'm going to pick up a Placencia, go to the humidors, and I pick one up, I always hear raves about it. They always rave about it. So I honestly feel like the Placencia is the people's choice, the people's champ, but Cohiba's that name that holds a lot more weight when it comes down to.
I'll take it back to the 90s. And, you know, me being a boxing fan and the 90s being one of them eras that you was more so into boxing than today. Mm-hmm. This is the Cohiba is Mike Tyson. The Placencia is Evander Holyfield. You know, everybody knows Cohiba's name. But Placencia is like that one that everybody know. That's a bad guy. He, behind the scenes, quietly, he's going to be hard to beat. The boxing fans was like, I don't know if Tyson can beat Holyfield. But everybody else like, man, it's going to be a good fight. Tyson about to walk through him. I think that's the comparison right now. You know, Cohiba is the namesake of the cigar community. And it's like that.
For sure.
But for those of us who in the know, It is an uphill battle for Cohiba. But I fully expect Cohiba to go out swinging.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's already swinging. I don't know about you on your end, but for me, it's already swinging. Hey, but check this out. So while we getting into these first few puffs, getting the Cohiba nice and smoky, nice and toasty, we are in episode 84.
Yes, sir.
Of course, we like to acknowledge some jerseys that we like to hang in the Vernon's rafters. And dedicate an episode to. And we know 84 got some numbers, man.
Yeah.
They got some boys with the 84 on their chest. Some dogs.
Yeah. Perfect for this episode, too.
Yeah, perfect for this episode. Because there's some dogs with that 84 on their chest. And we got two dogs right here that we smoking today. So.
There we go.
Andre Reed comes back with 84. He's worn it.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown.
It's might look at him like, hey, he is what he is and who he is. But on
he
that
was still field, that guy on the son, field. He was the on the field.
That guy. He was that guy. He was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
We did mention Randy Moss when he wore 81 with the Patriots. And right. You like Randy Moss. I like T.O. I think ultimately we gave the episode to T.O.
Right.
When Randy Moss comes back, we talking about that purple Randy Moss.
Right.
Minnesota Vikings.
That Randy Moss.
That Randy Moss.
Yes.
That Randy Moss.
Yeah. The real Randy. Yeah.
Will the real Randy stand up wearing that purple, that Viking?
Yeah.
But then we got Sterling Sharp. Career cut short. We get it. We understand. But When he suited up, he was that guy. He was that guy. And then we got his brother, Hall of Famer tight end, Uncle Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp.
Right, right.
You got anybody else? Is that all we got?
Well, you know, man, I am in Atlanta, man. You ain't going to say Roddy White?
Okay. Roddy White. Roddy White, give it to him.
Okay.
Throw him in there, too.
Hey, do you want to actually honor the episode to an individual, or are we going to keep it, you know, just shout out to everybody who wore that number?
I mean, this is a heavyweight bout.
Winner. Big a winner.
So if we do have a versus going on here. So we can press the issue since we ain't taking it easy on anybody today. We're not taking it easy on Placencia or Cohiba. Are we gonna take it easy on the players too?
Hey man. You know Randy my guy, but it's hard for me to go Randy over Shannon Sharp. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just with all due respect to Shannon and you know. They're both all-time greats, but Shannon could claim to be the greatest of his position. You know what I'm saying?
His position, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So with that being said, it's hard for me to...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for me to just argue that and just straight up give it to my guy because I'm biased towards him. Plus, with the things Shan is doing off the field, on the field, off the field, across the board, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He killed
his name. His name might be bigger now than it was when he had a jersey, when he was wearing a jersey.
I think it might be. It might be. Yeah, so I say Shannon. I say Shannon Sharp. You know what I'm saying? Where you staying?
Okay. I like Shannon Sharp. I'm going to say Shannon Sharp, too. You know, we were leaning towards just saying everybody. I don't know. I had a change of heart. I'm like, you know what? We having a bout. We pinning two juggernauts up against each other. Why are we going to shortchange it now? We're going to shortchange it now. But I like Shannon Sharp. I like Shannon Sharp. We can give it to him. Honorable mention to everybody else. Especially Randy Moss. Since now, Randy Moss has made two appearances.
And didn't make it. That feel like some bull to me. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. But all right.
But shout out to Shannon Sharp, man. Shout out to Shannon Sharp.
Most definitely. Most definitely, man. All right, man. Well, shoot, man. I want to move and switch gears a little bit. And I want to discuss something I've been hearing in the news that is to come in 2025. A good friend, Dave Thomas's business, Wendy's, has made the decision that in 2025, they will introduce to the fast food market price surging. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that would be, it'll be similar to when you get an Uber and you order your food and they say, hey, we're busy now, so rates are going up on your, your Uber. Same thing, they're going to apply that to food. When you pull up to the drive-thru, if they're busy, your chicken sandwich could potentially go up in $2 in cost for going to pick it up during lunch hours versus what it would cost you if you were to actually go pick it up in an hour where they're not busy, 3 p.m. Your double might cost you double to go pick it up later late at night. After midnight versus going at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
That's what frustrates me, right? Because you throw me back. When you say Wendy's, take me back to my college days. You know, we got $5 on us. And we had that budget. And we need to go get full real quick. We go to Wendy's.
$4 got us a long ways. I never spent the whole $5. I got changed back with that $5.
Got changed back. And then, also another hook is eating late. They were one of the first restaurants to stay open late. And one of the first restaurants, if not the first restaurant, from my thought, to offer the value menu, the 99-cent menu. So now you have a restaurant who's leading the charge
at the forefront
now. And they were at the forefront of convenience and price. And with the forefront of convenience and price, hey, we open late. Come get you a square burger and some fries and some nuggets and a frosty. And you good.
Yeah. And it all hit.
Back in them days. They really led the charge on that convenience of being open late and then being able to have that menu where you don't have to break an arm and a leg just to get something to fill you up. Yeah. Now we're going to charge on, hey, look, if you come during lunchtime, we're going to hit you over the head. You come late at night, we're going to hit you over the head. It's like...
That's right. Like all the times that you would come, that we used to take care of you when you came, everybody hit you over the head. It's time you pay me back for all them years I was good to you. And it hurts that it was Wendy's of all companies, because Wendy's was that thing for us in college, man. You know how we survived off Wendy's, leaving the club and just during the day, swinging by. If you wanted to eat healthy, you could go get you a little value salad and a chicken nugget and a burger to go with it. And you crush your chicken nugget up inside your little Caesar salad and shake it. And that was you going on a diet. And now we can't do nothing, man. They done crushed the dreams, man. It's sad because if this is successful, expect it to become a new wave.
And you know what? Like the thing that scares me is, not necessarily scares me, but concerns me is, you know, it's gonna go by. It's gonna fly. that's how they were able to get away from not offering that 99 cent menu anymore. It's because that supply and demand, and people are still going to go to these restaurants. They're still going to, you know, be patrons of these companies that allow them to be bold with saying, hey, we're going to do what we got to do. And people are still going to go spend that money. Some more reluctant, some more begrudgingly than others, but you're still going to go spend that money. The amount of people who are going to say, no, we're not going to patronize this establishment anymore is going to be so minute and so few compared to the people who are still going to, they're still going to hit that line at 12 o'clock, 12 p.m. during lunchtime. They're still going to get in that line and they're going to pay the $2 more. And it makes them bold to say, you know what? Guess what? I have the demand now. Instead of the customer always being right and companies being customer driven, now companies are coming back. You're saying, no, we're company driven. We're bottom line driven. And you're going to do whatever we say that you're going to do. Yeah. And it's crazy that it's like if it was anybody who would do it, I would think it would be Chick-fil-A or McDonald's would be the first to do that.
but they could. In all likelihood, Chick-fil-A seems like they should have been the most probable person to do it because their lines are crazy. They need the surge, in fairness to them, like, you know what I'm saying? They'll be able to handle what's coming, but they didn't do it. It was Wendy's. That's insane to me. It's like, really? Like, but like you said, though, because that's happened and everybody's becoming bottom line driven and because we won't do nothing about it, companies look at us and say, what you doing? What you going to do? You going to stop eating with me? Nah, you going to keep eating. All you doing is just running your mouth. You're just talking junk. You ain't going to do nothing but come buy these burgers. Come get these burgers for me. And Wendy's had the 4 for $4, which was nothing but what we were doing with the dollar menu anyway, but they took the dollar menu and was like, hey, man, we'll just give you a dollar menu combo.
They're $5 exchange. That 4 for $4 is the same thing. It's the same concept.
Same thing. But now they got rid of the 4 for $4, and now it's only the $5 and $6 versions of those anyway.
Yep.
You don't even get that no more. Now you just get the dollar menu food within a $6 combo or a $5 combo now. So,
yeah.
But you mentioned that about us just running our mouth and not doing nothing about it and us just eating and they just going to go on and mosey on and business as usual because of that. It brings me to another conversation we kind of mentioned off air is that online people are now beginning to create a boycott for Kellogg's, which is how you solve this whole problem anyway, is through the boycott if we could actually come together and achieve it. But online, they're saying they want to start a boycott of all Kellogg's products as of April 1st and make them feel it for 3 months. And it's all based on the idea that their CEO or one of their, you know, top officials at the company was bragging about how good they're doing. And I think they're up 29% for the quarter and they're going to raise prices some more is what they were saying. And he also came out and said, for those of you who can't afford groceries, just eat our breakfast for dinner. And that's how you get by. And that rubbed a lot of people wrong, which has led to the conversation of the boycott. But the boycott is the only way to fix it. You know what I'm saying? Because companies are getting to the point where they're very comfortable with, you ain't going to do nothing. We just going to eat. Because what you going to do? You need us.
The audacity. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. And like, I mean, when it comes to, when I'm doing my grocery shopping, and which is why they might still have a point, is I see them cereal prices, like $4 for a box. A small box, not the large one, not the family size, not the value size.
You can't go under $4 no more for cereal.
Like, for some Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yeah.
Some Apple Jacks? A box of Cheerios. $7.
Easy six to seven. Yeah. And I know your production costs ain't up. I know y'all still eating, but the profits just keep rising. You know what I'm saying? Like, Hey, get out of here, man.
And now you saying, hey, look, you can't afford groceries. Eat our breakfast for dinner. Just lock in.
Just eat a box of cereal, man. If you can't afford cereal.
Who make Pop-Tarts? Is that Kellogg's?
Probably, man. They do. I know they do the waffles and the Lego My Eggos and all that stuff too. Eggos, you know what I'm saying?
So Eggos used to be like $1.50.
Yeah, they up too. Everything up.
Eggos almost $4. $4 Eggos.
Yeah, they killing it. Now, don't get me wrong, but see, this is the other thing about the cereal. It's a half a bag anyway. So you just give me a bigger box, but it's the same stuff that's in the small box.
I never thought about that. I might try that. Buy two different boxes of cereal and pull out the bag and look at it and be like, nah, man, it's the same size bag. It's in a different size box.
Probably. Like, I wouldn't doubt it, bro. Them bags. You pull out a bag and it's automatically at the halfway mark.
I'm going to the grocery store with a scale. I'm weighing them. Now, if they say 16 ounces, that one say 24, it better be 16. It's better be 16. Mm.
They doing that. People online doing that. They weighing out the bacon and stuff, man, at spots. Mm-hmm. And it ain't coming out to what they saying it is supposed to weigh. Like, they taking it, they weighing it in the packaging, and it still don't come up to the weight exactly. On the packaging, let alone taking it out the packages. So, if you're supposed to have, 8 ounces of bacon, you only getting, 4.5, 5. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Come down to it. Yeah, you take it out the packaging, yeah.
They ain't even weighing it. They don't even think you got the intellect to weigh it, to see if they lying to you. They just lied to you.
But you know what? I mean, we'll say, all right. How often have you gone to the store with a scale and weighed it? Even though there's scales in the grocery store on the produce side, all you got to do is walk it over there to the scale. They got them in the grocery store.
Next to the apples, just weigh it. Next to the potatoes, go weigh it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going over to produce. That next time I grab my whatever it is.
Yeah. They hustling, man. And it's cool, Your prices is your prices and this and that. But it's like, at a point, you got to take care of your people, too. You know what I'm saying? Don't just abuse it. And we all we've all been very accepting of the price raises because we understand the environment we're in.
It has to happen. Yeah, we get it.
Yes.
But it's at the same time, like, you can't just, and this is what I'm saying, like, they're getting too bold with this. Like, it's right in front of our faces. And all the people who's held the companies down, like, the only reason why these companies are still around is because we spend our capital. We can do a business. So in turn, this is what you do. You get bold. You the guy, right? You the guy. So you're the one who bought your own products, right? No, we bought your products. But then now you go and you hit us over the head because you just think about your bottom line. Like, you're taking your company back. It's not about the customer anymore. It's about the company and their bottom line. It's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand. Yeah.
And most of them, you're not providing nutritional value anyway. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we stop being... See, the only reason they really able to get this off is because most of us are so busy in our life that we do a lot of stuff out of convenience. Like, you buy the frozen waffles from Kellogg's because you really ain't got the time to do the mix. You know what I'm saying? But if you make the mix, it tastes a lot better. You know what I'm saying? Like, just to get in there and just fry you up some pancakes yourself, way better than them little frozen pancakes. Cereal. We just eat cereal because it's quick and easy. But if I get in there with the eggs and some sausage and some bacon and some grits, it's much better for me.
It's a lot better meal, yes. For sure.
Yeah, so they able to get that off just because of how busy the American lifestyle is. And I say American lifestyle because I can't speak on a lot of these other countries. I hear it's not the same as these other places.
Is it really busy? Are we really busy? Are we just lazy?
Both.
I mean, honestly, like, it's not to me, okay. When you think about busy, I get it. Yes, we are busy. And we have days that we are more busy than others. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, how busy truly are we? If you compare 2024 to 1995, or compare 1995 to 1965, how busy are we? You know, we're able to travel at high rates of speed. We can fly from one coast to another coast in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
We can send out emails a whole lot faster. We can pick up and make phone calls and make connections a whole lot quicker. We're not sitting by a facsimile, a fax machine waiting for a message to come through. I got to sit by this fax machine to send out a fax, and now I got to wait for the fax to come back and, you know, spend 45 minutes by the fax machine just to get some information signed. You know, we're processing information a whole lot faster. So are we really busy?
That's a good point. That's a good point. We can't be busier than what we were. Shoot, if I need directions to go somewhere, I don't have to go buy a map from the gas station no more. Like, you know, you pull up on your phone and get right there.
Plot out your route. Okay, I'm going to go here and I'm going to take 95 and I'm coming off of this one. And I'm going to take 252 and go here. Nah, you don't even know where you're going until your phone would say, turn left.
Arrived.
Turn right. You don't know where you're going. You're just following your directions. Back in the day, you have to get your map. Pre-plan your route. You know what I'm saying? We're not taking time to do stuff like that no more. We ain't got to spend $10 waiting, 10 minutes waiting for dial-up for your internet to hook up.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Very good point. You're making a great point.
You go to your website and you wait 3 minutes for your website to load. Things happen like that. So are we truly really that busy? We're not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, man. We're busy, but we're not... We've been busier in past time. So a lot of the stuff we're so convinced that we're looking for ways to get back to more convenience. We're spoiled by our convenience and searching for ways to cut and get more convenience. I mean, I think back to growing up, man, I look at my mom. My mom had a full-time job. She went to school on the side. She mentored kids on the side. And she still cooked dinner every night, and she got up in the morning, made me breakfast every morning, and she cleaned the house every day. We didn't have no sink, no dishes in the sink when we went to bed. She did all that. And I look back now and I say, man, how did you do it? Because she had about as much help as I got. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't even say lazy. So I changed that. I won't say lazy. We're just we're more distracted now. It's our distractions. And I'm speaking for myself personally. I got a lot of time on my hands. If I really truly took out all the distractions away, and I wasn't distracted,
managed it properly. Yeah.
If I managed my time properly, I would have a whole lot more time. And I get into that thought myself, and that's why I got so charged up when you said that. And like, I had that thought myself just recently, of how much time I burn, wasting time. And as much as I don't like to waste time, I hate my time being wasted. But I will waste my own time. You know what I mean? And I think that's what the issue is. So we just get distracted and we waste our time. And then we look up and like, oh, I don't have time.
That's a great point, because we have so many pleasures and luxuries all day long that we didn't have in the past. Like, okay, think about it. In the past, right? TV was all you had. The internet wasn't what it is now. So it wasn't, no, let me go sit down and dial up AOL and do something on the internet, because... You really had no reason.
Yeah, that was a back thought. That was in the back of your mind.
TV didn't really start for most people until about 8 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? You watch the 5 o'clock news, it go off 5:30. After that, you know, it's a couple little filler shows that nobody usually interested in until about 8 o'clock. You didn't have nothing to do for 2 hours, so you went and took care of your business. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's the difference versus now. You always have some form of entertainment in your pocket to watch. Yeah. And if not in your pocket, on your TV. And then we got extra TVs. We got more TVs than we ever had. It was only one TV. And if somebody was watching TV in the past, you had to wait your turn to watch the TV. And as a kid, you didn't have TV. Went on from about 3 o'clock until about 5 o'clock. And there was nothing to watch. For the rest of the day.
Nothing for you.
Nothing for you to watch for the rest of the day.
No programming for you. This is adult programming now. You want to sit here and watch 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So there was nothing to do. So you had nothing but free time to figure out how to fill the free time. You know what I'm saying? And you filled it. But now, yes, you bring an amazing point. We are filling our time because we have so many options to fill our time. And in turn, we're misusing it, you know, so. And the companies are reaping the benefits of it. To bring it back full circle, the companies are reaping the benefits of that, because now we are, in turn, going to go microwave some food when we really should have just been cooking it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But the distractions allow them to be able to keep eating.
And we got air fryers that can cook our food a whole lot fast. I can cook a whole, whip up a whole meal on my air fryer.
Yeah.
So fast. But yet and still, we still getting jerked around.
Yeah, we'll go out and eat out because that's quicker than having to actually prepare your food. And cooking, and for those who don't cook, cooking's not hard. The most difficult part of cooking is preparation, preparing your food. You know what I'm saying? That's it. If you can bother to chop it up and season it, you done. Just cook it now. Like,
and you can do that ahead of time. You can do that a day before and have it ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, man. So we have
end of the round.
Round one. Okay. Are we saving it for the end?
Saving it for the end. Come on.
Okay. So I'm gonna dump off my ash. All right, one more puff. Can I get another?
Go ahead. I set mine down. I'm gonna cleanse my palate. I'm gonna let it burn and have a peaceful death over here to the side while I get ready to get started.
Okay. All right. There we go. Can I get the last puff? Can I make a comment at least?
Comment. Go ahead. Make a comment. I just didn't want a full review, but make a comment.
Red. Nice. That's all I got to say. I'm going to just leave it there. Nice.
As expected. Cohiba, blue, nice. As expected. Nice.
Red dot. Nice. I definitely feel like I smoke premium. I definitely feel like I got a ride in the... in the back of the back.
We'll see what you wrote in the back of in a moment. So we have the Placencia Alma Fuerte, Colorado. And I got the Robusto.
Okay.
5 1/8 by 55 single. I wish I remembered the exact price points on these too, man. That would be nice.
Yeah.
All right, I need this smoke to clear because I need to be able to embrace the scent of what I'm having here.
Yeah. There you go. I believe my Cohiba was about 22. Mm-hmm. And this Placencia about 24.
All right, sounds about right.
Based on the smell, I ain't gonna say it yet. All right. And keep in mind, can I remind everybody this? The last time we smoked Cohiba on our episode, it's about 3 years ago. 3 years ago was the last time we had a Cohiba on the episode. Now, saying the last time we smoked a Cohiba, I think the last Cohiba I had was maybe about 6 months ago. And it was a Cohiba Black. I just want to know if you experienced what I'm experiencing right now. So I blew that first puff and I got a whiff back.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whiff back.
Mm-hmm.
And that whiff that I got back was
premium. Chef's kiss. Premium.
I didn't even really puff. I just got a whiff back. And all right, let's go. Let's keep going. Boy, fighting back was a person, or fighting back was a cigar. Yeah, no. Okay. So, Sensei, let's
get a long night, Cohiba. I'm telling you.
Okay. I'm trying. Let me contain myself. Let me contain myself. I'm containing myself.
You got an opinion already, huh?
I do, but I don't. For the sake of the episode, I have no opinion. I have no opinion. I'm just going to smoke. I'm just going to enjoy my cigar. I'm going to enjoy my time. And we're going to relax. We're going to have a conversation.
Yeah, we'll do that.
So.
We have opinions. Y'all know we got opinions.
It shouldn't be like this. It should not be like this. It should not be like this. But all right, man. All right, game face. We back to business. Back to the everything else real
back
quick.
Back to business.
Why these cigars burn. So, recently, a documentary was released. And this documentary involved a certain individual. Certain individual's name is Wendy Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know Wendy Williams. Well, I don't know if you all know, but just to give you a quick history and then bring up the speed of her condition now. So Wendy Williams, radio host, TV personality, TV show host, made her name and made her career early on, especially early on the radio and commentary with other celebrities and gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And was, in a sense, some would say ruthless with her methods of gossip, some of the news that she would bring forth, and pissed off a lot of people along the way. Messed up a lot of
relationships. And may I just interject with this? This is in her radio years in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, for the younger audience, this is back when Tupac was still alive. He had a beef with Wendy Williams. Like, this is how far we go back.
All them guys, everybody had beef with Wendy Williams. Not everybody, but a lot of people had beef with Wendy Williams. And then fast forward to her TV show, you know, she gets a little bit more calm, but then she still brings a lot of attention to people's mess. And it still rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but she's a little bit more likable at this point. When you fast forward to the later 2000s, mid 2000s.
Oh, and I'm sorry to cut you off. One more point. Also, mm-hmm. to bring it full circle for some context for other people who may be less familiar with how she was on the radio, Charlamagne the God pretty much mentored under her. Mm-hmm. Like, he came in the radio station under her, working as her assistant on air. Right. So some of his wilder years that y'all know from Charlamagne before he started calming down more recently, that's in the vein Wendy came from. You know what I'm saying? He get that off her.
Yeah, for sure.
But people forget that when she go into TV world, she's
TV world.
More likable. Yeah. Yeah.
So some people forgot. Some people forgot.
Some. Not all.
Your younger crowd forgot. But there are some people who do remember. And now she has this documentary that's come out. And even before the documentary, you know, she's had issues with health. And I don't necessarily like speaking on people's health because that's a tough thing. Dealing with your health internally is a tough thing. So I'm not making light of anybody's health scares or me and you both had our own. But I've seen a lot of commentary and comments based on this documentary and seeing her in the condition that she's been in and saying, well, this is her karma. This is what she gets. And I don't know how you feel about it. But me personally, just go to a quick answer on how I feel about it. It doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel good. And it brings a question to me, like, are people too comfortable claiming karma on other people's misfortunes? And are they right for it? Whether it's the person in that's spectating or observing, or the person who's going through the misfortune that they impacted. Like, is it okay or is it too comfortable to be like, all right, well, see, that's what you get. This is what you're going through. Now see. What's your take? What's your stance?
Oh, yeah, I think people are way too comfortable doing that, you know. Because people are always looking for someone to get their comeuppance and that they're hoping that it happens to somebody. And anytime it does, in whatever the circumstance is, any glimmer of it happening, people are like, yeah, that's their karma. That's karma. Da, da, da. And I think people are just too comfortable with that, man, because it makes them feel better about what they think of somebody supposed to have happened to them, you know, like what they think is fair. You know, I got news for people, man. If you ain't had your health scare yet, keyword yet, it's coming. It's coming for all of us. Like, because at the end of the day, this journey has to end. So you're going to find a way out of it at some point. So as you get old enough, you'll start to wear it out a little bit and your body won't be able to do some of the things that it did before. But we all going to have it. We're all going to die. We're all not going to be here forever, you know? So people are jumping for joy with that. And it's just like, it's unnecessary. It was bound to happen. And that's it has nothing to do with karma. And in my own opinion, I'll ruffle some feathers here. I want to believe in karma, but I'm not convinced of karma. So it's just, to me, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's just something that's bound to happen.
It's bound to happen. You're right. And we've had this conversation on karma, I think episodes ago. On how we felt about karma. And for even those who do believe in something as karma, or chickens coming home to roost, or you're receiving what you put out for so many years, what you said about people, you know, I forgot what the word that you just used was, like applauding or championing or something like that. Like you're reveling in somebody's karma, even if that's what you believe. Like, if you believe it's karma, what I really disagree with, like, you can be like, if that's what you want to believe. You want to believe that is karma, and what somebody is going through is what they deserve because the energy that they put out, or the lifestyle that they lived, or how they impacted people. Got to be careful. Be careful on, you know, cheering for it and pointing it out, or even speaking on it. If you feel that way, honestly, I feel like how you should handle it is sit back and be like, okay, that might be their karma. I'm going to sit back and I don't have to comment on it. I don't have to go make the person feel bad about it. You just let karma, if you believe in that is karma, do what it's doing. Now, when you get out of line, like I said, being too comfortable claiming karma on somebody's misfortune is going back and talking about it and speaking on it and being happy about it and sharing it on and pushing the narrative forward. That's getting out of line. Now, if you believe in karma, now you're looking for that to come back on you. Now somebody's going to be talking about you going through that, going through whatever it is that you got to go through. Because ain't nobody claiming
if you believe in karma, you're opening the door for karma to now get you for the same thing that you're putting out. You're putting out celebrating other people's misfortunes. And therefore, you put that out, you bound to get it. And at the end of the day, we all going to have misfortunes because life is like a stock chart. You know what I mean? You have your ups and your downs and stuff. Yeah, right. Everybody's going through it, whether you see it or not. We all having ups, wins and victories, and we all having losses along the way. No person is void of having that experience where some days are better than others and some days are worse than others. But I don't care how much you're going through. You got to be able to understand that's what you're going through, and you got to be able to see it that way. Some people think, oh, my life is terrible all the time. Nah, you're having some good days along the way. You're just missing it because you focus on the negative. And some people think, my life is perfect, but nah, you're having some negative days along the way also, but you just choose not to see it that way. So when people are saying that's karma, it's not karma. It's just the journey of life. Everybody's having ups and downs along the way. So if you're going to be celebrating somebody's downs, what does that say about you? Like, you know, why you calling it karma? It's not karma. It's just what it is. It's the journey of life. And you shouldn't celebrate it if you believe in karma, especially because now you're asking for it back.
Yeah. That's the thing that trips me out. It's like for the people who use the term karma when they're making their claim and they're making their statement, it's like, if you're going to say that or you feel that way, then you should be the last one saying it. Now, for those who like, hey, you know, that's how I for me, okay, well, there's no excuse for celebrating. I was gonna try to find another way to say, well, there's another way to look at it. If you're on this side, yes, there's no reason or no excuse or no purpose to celebrate somebody's misfortune or downfall. It's none. It's nothing.
It ain't nothing.
Unless, I mean, okay, well, unless, but even then, I'm trying to find a way, but I can't.
I can't think of nobody that I dislike that I was happy when I hear something bad happen to them. I've heard stories of stuff going bad for people that I really ain't fool with like that. It don't make me feel good.
I don't
wish it on them.
Of somebody who's done something to you or to a family member. Like if somebody hurt one of your parents or your brother, sister, son, daughter, you know, and maybe you can find a case for somebody wanting to see somebody, something bad happen to somebody who, like, if they harmed your child. But even then, like, I'm from a side of, I'd rather not see anything bad happen to anybody, regardless. You know, and there is a process that I am not a part of, that if anything was to happen to somebody who did something bad, that has nothing to do with me. Even if they did something to somebody I love, now my job is to protect the ones I love. I'm my job is to protect my loved ones, but my job is not to wish bad on anybody, even if they did something wrong to my loved ones. I'm gonna let whatever justice system, whatever God has in store for them, let that be that. My job is to protect my own. And part of me protecting, unless I have to physically harm somebody to stop them from harming myself or my loved ones, then, okay. But it's not me trying to wish bad on somebody. That's the realm of where I'm trying to be at, where I'm trying to find some kind of reasoning.
And see, you're a good God-fearing man like that. So I expect that stance from you. But let me clarify where I stand at with something like that. If it's somebody wronged my family or something like that, I don't get joy out of seeing something bad happen to them in return. But I am a fan of retaliation. If I get them, then I feel good.
Yeah.
If I got them, I feel good. But if somebody else got them, it don't make me feel good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know, like if somebody hit somebody in my family, and then I find out a year later somebody beat them up, that don't do nothing for me. But if I got them, then cool.
It wasn't your payback.
It wasn't my payback. Like, you see what I'm saying? So that's my personal stance for it. If we talk about karma, I don't need some magical force to come get them back for me. But if I can get them, I feel good about it. That's not to say I won't want to get them. I might want to get them back. You know that. You people I got on my checklist, I still owe them. I ain't got them yet, but I owe them. Like, you know what I'm saying? But
look, if you wrong Jerry,
I'm saying it's coming. It might be over. You know what I'm saying? It's in my world, it's over. But
you ain't checked you off the box yet.
I ain't forgot about you. You know, under the right circumstances, I might still want to get you. Like, you know what I'm saying? But just because I found out, like, if I found out you lost your job, I'm not like, woohoo, they lost their job. Like, I don't care about that. I don't want to hear nothing bad happen to you.
Okay, well, something
else. Even if I still hurt you myself, I don't want to hear nothing bad happen to you.
So what if somebody made you lose your job? They were actively trying to make you lose your job, and they were successful in forcing you to lose your job, and then they lost theirs.
Yeah.
Maybe I might be a little happy about that.
I mean, you might say you get, you know what I'm saying? Because
what would you get?
Because you know you can't ever get them back with that. Okay, with something like that, right? My character, I would never tell on nobody to make them lose their job, even if I knew the foul they were doing. Like, I'm not gonna bring myself to go rat them out. So I could never get in
or whatever.
Yeah.
Lying on you or whatever.
Even if they cause me to lose mine, that's a form of revenge I could never get. So, you know, it is what it is with that. Yeah, so if it happens to me, like, okay.
Now you gonna get me? I'm bringing everybody down with me. Like, y'all, nope. You come down here. Nope, you want loud? Nope, you come. He was doing this.
Yeah.
I can see that. I mean, I can see that. But I guess you're not built that way. So I can see how some people can be.
I can see how some people could do that also. And if somebody chose to go that way, I couldn't knock them for it.
Yeah.
If they was like, all y'all going down with me. But I'm not. I couldn't sleep at night knowing I did that.
That's something different outside of somebody's health. Because if I lose a job, I lost some money. I can always get some money back. I can get another job. I can find a way. But to go through a health situation and to watch somebody deteriorate and go through a rough spell, that's hard for me. But then I can understand some people's standpoint. Like, you think about pedophiles. So I guess I'm back and forth. And it's like, okay, well, you did this and you hurt all these kids. You know, this is happening for you. I guess it would be
circumstantial. It's circumstantial.
And I think
she was a gossip person, you know, and I'm sure she hurt some people along the way, but come on, man. Have we really grown past sticks and stones? May hurt, break my bones, but words will never hurt. We ain't out. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I guess it's how egregious the act was that you're saying their karma is being dealt with.
Yeah.
But even still then, I'm not going and I'm not celebrating it. I said, wouldn't celebrate it. Like, you talk about, like, the people like who might have been pedophiles or whatever, and they're going through a rough time, and they're getting their get back of some sort. I'm still not going to celebrate it. I'm still not celebrating. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man, it definitely comes down to different scenarios, man. But I think, you know, I'm sure she's hurt some people's characters along the way, and she probably hurt some people's feelings, and she's talking about somebody's family members and stuff like that, you know? So I know people are not going to fool with her. There are going to be certain people that just, I don't rock with Wendy and good riddance, but I don't think that this should be a situation where you're celebrating, you know what I'm saying? I don't think her character or what she was doing deserves that per se. You know, there are people that have done a whole lot more evil that they didn't celebrate, you know. I mean, the people didn't celebrate when something bad happened to them.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. But that's where people are kind of, I think that's, I don't know, man. It's a lot of celebrating now, man. People be happy to see people go down, man. People be happy about that stuff now, man.
Yeah.
Like it's a dog pack mentality, because once you start going down, everybody jump on you. You know, everybody quick to counsel you and hate you in groups and stuff. And it's
And I think it's trendy. It's trendy to hate on somebody when they're going through, like you said, jump on. And I think it's become a trendy thing. Oh, it's their turn. They're going through it. All right, everybody, let's go. Let's flood their comment section on whatever they post, and let's say all these nasty things and whatever, or remind them of this. I think it's just a trendy thing. Like you said, the cancel thing or the trolling or whatever. I think it's just a trendy thing of, hey, they're going through this. We got to jump. That's just the culture that's been cultivated over the last few years with the social media thing. I think,
hey guys, who are we hating today? We hate him today? Let's get him. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's weird. That's exactly what it is.
If it's not close to you, you don't have no personal feelings for it. Like, Puffy going through all the stuff he going through now, I don't have no personal feelings towards him. Like, as far as being a person, I think it's disgusting, some of the stuff that's being alleged against him.
Yeah.
But I don't hate the guy personally. I don't have to get online and attack him. Like, you know, he's going through what he's going through already, and he'll feel it in the end. He won't come. If he's actually guilty, he'll get his day. You know what I mean? But I don't have to be the one out here trying to tear him down over it, because I don't know. I'm not connected to it.
Not my job. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Let whatever happened in that realm happen in that realm.
And if it ends up in court and they find him guilty, they'll get him. Like, and if he deserves to be gotten, so be it. Like, hey, man. But I don't know. We all be looking for something to hate, be mad at, man, I guess.
But I mean, when it comes down to it, just let it be what it is. I don't think we have to, you know what I'm saying, necessarily claim karma on people's lives. They go through what they go through. Everything will come around in its time that it needs to come around in.
Yeah, and this is what you do. To take it back to the first half of the conversation, if you don't like what you're hearing about somebody, then you detach yourself from that person by not supporting it. That's how you get them. If you don't, the same way we said the companies is taking advantage of people, don't support it. And then that'll rectify it. If you don't like Wendy Williams and what she's going through, then don't watch her show. Don't give her no, don't watch the documentary. You ain't got to talk bad about her life. Just don't support what she got going on. Exactly. That's how you get her. Don't buy Puffy's records if you don't like what how Puffy treated people. Like, you win. That's how you get it.
That's too easy. Hey, but check this out, though. Final bell.
I'm gonna just stick with this while we finish up. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even gonna put this one out. You know what I mean? Is that okay? Or is this biased to keep smoking this while we go?
It's already lit.
Might as well.
Might as well just keep going. Just keep smoking.
Yeah.
Hey, man. So, hey, look, this was the heavyweight bout, the matchup, the versus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The heavyweights, the juggernauts going toe-to-toe. What we doing?
What you got, man? Go ahead and kick it off. You going? Get your little swig of that good juice is going to have you tell the truth. That truth juice, going to get a sip.
My little tequila. Hold on, give me a
some truth serum.
It's truth serum. I don't even need it, though. The ambiance tells me everything I need to know and everything that I'm going to tell you and everybody else. So we went back to back. I had the Cohiba Red Dot. Mm-hmm. And then we cleansed the palate, grabbed the Placencia Alma Fuerte. And I will tell you this. So my reaction as we went to the second part and we lit that next cigar, night and day, from just the feeling, the initial feeling that the cigar gives. Okay, so we did the smell. The Cohiba smelled nice. I did the smell on the Placencia, and I would say the Cohiba smelled nicer than the Placencia. So it got my juices going before the smoke more so than the Placencia did. Mm-hmm. Got to the Cohiba. Cohiba smoked nice. The smoke was a little lighter than I was hoping for. I didn't get like a rich full body smoke, which is okay. It's not what I necessarily want, but it's okay. So mainly the flavors is what I'm looking for. So we got a nice rich oakiness with the Cohiba, some cocoa on the tail end of it. No pepper, no spice, nothing like that. Just a smooth ride, which was really nice. Like I said, my initial reaction when I finished the Cohiba was, hey, that was my Maybach experience. I'm riding in the back of the Maybach. That lets you know that, hey, the smoke was a nice ride. It felt good. The aroma during the smoke was nice. And the notes I got on my palate were very pleasant. However, as soon as the Cohiba went out and the Placencia got lit, even though it didn't have that scent on the sniff test, a pervy sniff test.
Yeah.
That first puff, that whiff, that ambiance, that aroma, once the cigar got lit, it just took off. It was off to the races. It was just going and did not stop and didn't slow down. So just in the first third of this stick, but we smoked it for about a good 25 minutes. And I'm telling you, it was great. I tried to contain it, but I could not contain it. So if I had to give a rating, well, are we doing a rating one versus the other, or are we doing just
however you want. Okay. We don't have to handle rules on it. However you want to go about it.
Okay. So for Cohiba, I'm gonna try to grade a Cohiba just off the initial experience that I had and rate it just on that. I'm gonna say a solid 4.1. I'm trying not to be biased and rate it against the Placencia I smoked after. I'm trying to think. Mm-hmm. Okay, 4.2. Without thinking about the Placencia. I'm not downgrading it because of the Placencia. Mm-hmm. You already know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So 4.2 for the Cohiba Red Dot. Placencia, Once we got to this one. Previously, I have smoked this stick on another episode and rated it a 4.7.
Mm-hmm.
After this smoke today, in this first third, this first moment, in this matchup, and just grading the Placencia just based off itself, not on a curve, 4.9. Palma Fuerte, 4.9.
That's out of five. He said it. So on one judge's card, we got a wide victory, which leaves it on me. And I'm going to go with opening up with the Cohiba Blue, which is what I had. Like he said, I don't want to parrot you too much, you know, so I probably won't go as deep as you did. But I'll say this. The notes I picked up on the blue, I picked up on some nice cinnamon spice on that. It had a creaminess to it on the smoke. Of course, the aroma on the actual stick before lighting was good. Had a solid aroma on the actual cigar itself. It had a good draw. I think it was constructed well and everything else on that. I'd say I picked up on some leather notes on it and some earthiness on the stick also. And good rich tobacco flavors. You know what I'm saying? Overall. Very good stick. I would say for that one, I actually go with a 4.2 for the Cohiba Blue also. So I'm glad that you said that because that was my score for it. Then we go into the Alma Fuerte. And did you have a box press one or you have?
Yeah, box press.
Okay, I don't have the box press one. I got the Robusto, nice round stick. And I normally get the box press one too. But anyway. It's not really a whole lot I can say about this Alma Fuerte that you didn't already say. It's everything that you said that it was. And I personally, when it goes time to rate it, I'm going to stick with what we've given it in the past, 4.7. Because this does have room to continue to improve, which I know it will, but we're early in the stick. So what I have to say from now is 4.7, you know, what we've given it in the past, man. And yes. The victory goes to Placencia, the cigar champion of the world, Placencia. Hey, man.
It is.
We knew Placencia was going to be the favorite, and I didn't know what to expect from it. I expected good things from Cohiba. Cohiba gave good things. They put up the best fight they could, but at the end of the day, the Placencia is really a dialed-in cigar that's almost perfection. You gave it a 4.9, which is just under perfection at 5.0.
Which for me is my room for improvement.
Which is your room for improvement.
For second and final third.
Yeah. And, which even that could be because you know what's to come with the second and final third. I know what's to come also, but just judging it off the first third, which is all I want to judge it off of, I'm going to stick with the 4.7. You know what I mean? Like, and the 4.7 is even unfair to Placencia because I don't know where it can improve at. So why not just give it a perfect score? But I'm leaving room for it to improve.
Yes.
Because maybe there's something better.
If I had to score them one against the other and try not to bring them separately, I'm trying to be short with this. I would have to give, and if I, like I said, up against each other, I would maybe up the Cohiba a little bit, give it a 4.4 maybe, and then give this a 5.0, a perfect score. Like if I had to say, okay, a matchup, you knocked it out the park. Because there's no way that you smoke a Cohiba and you get a 4.2 just by itself, and then you come and you just blow it out the water that much. It was just that much of a difference to me. It was that if I smoke the Cohiba one day, nice, feels good. Then smoke the Placencia another day, oh, this is great. But to smoke them back to back like we did today, which is the point of why we did it the way we did it, is to get that right on the spot moment, which one is just that boy, which one is giving it to us?
Yeah.
And I would say like it was night and day from the first puff, that aroma, everything, like. It's just like you said, dialed in. It's dialed in. And I don't think how much better you can be dialed in as a cigar than this one.
The blend is perfect, man. It's hard. It's gonna be hard to top that.
I don't want to stop puffing.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, we both laughed as soon as we lit up because I think we both knew exactly what it was. You know, it's Placencia is one of the top in the game when it comes to the initial feeling you get right off the bat. Like if the aficionado judges actually lit this up, they giving it 100 right off the bat because it's just a feeling. It's a feeling that you get when you light this up. The aroma takes over the room, and it's just smoothness and perfection. But
when you said that, takes over the room, the aroma takes over the room.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, that is the Shannon Sharp Cohiba versus, I'm sorry, Placencia versus Cohiba because... You know, top bill goes to Placencia. So Placencia versus Cohiba. And Cohiba put up a hell of an effort, but it's the Placencia episode. The Shannon Sharp Placencia episode. We appreciate y'all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cigars and Everything Else podcast.
We're going to keep smoking this. I'll see y'all
later.
This
will be lit. And up.
And up.